Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show. Glad to have you with us. We're particularly excited about starting something, I guess a combined new thing that we feel like is going to be tremendously valuable for you guys, our listeners. Dan, so welcome. And it's great that we did some brainstorming to put together this major marketing challenge series of episodes that we've been talking about.
Yeah, I'm excited. Just kind of a different way of framing up problems. We're, you know, going to look at the big picture stuff, right? The big changes that a lot of banks find it hard to kind of get to and break those down into really their components and talk through solutions, steps that you can take to kind of make these bigger challenges easier to tackle.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of the benefit of the podcast and this information and these discussions that we're going to have, Dan, is that too often people don't pause to do it. Everybody keeps their nose to the grindstone and does their thing all day, every day. And I think you labeled that well. It's big picture challenges that have got to be focused on and effort and energy put into in order to move forward. And while everyone knows that, you know, I think that's part of the benefit of this is maybe we'll encapsulate some of these major issues.
You know, I think if you're, you know, if you're a bank leader, if you're a CEO or C-suite, somebody, like, you know, these are the things that you want your team to be doing, right? These are the things that move your bank from, you know, point A to point B. If you're marketing manager, marketing director, like, these are things, right, that also move the bank from point A to point B, but also, like, you know, if you're looking to advance in your career or learn new skills, like tackling the big things are a great way to do that. Like, get at the hard part, like you said, is getting out of the day to day. But if you can add in little things that add up to bigger things over time, you know, the bank will be in a great spot. You'll be in a great spot for your career. So I think this whole series is each of these major challenges is probably something that, what, you know, might take 6 months, a year, more than that. But it only happened if you can, you know, make room in your day to day and start doing some new things, take a different approach to things. But, you know, it starts today.
Yeah. You have a good point. They aren't one click solutions. These are things that are going to take time, energy, budget, you know, all of those things, but again, are crucial. The outcome for each of these challenges that we're going to go through in this series, Dan, are also significant. You know, these aren't things that are just going to kind of clean your desk off. These are things that are literally going to move the bank, move the company forward. And that affects everybody from board on down. And so that's significant. And another thing that I like about the way that you and I framed this up and everything that we're going to cover too is if you're a $2 or $3 billion bank and you're across 2.5 states, or whether you're a $100 million in asset bank that's one location, the things that we're going to cover are applicable. So yeah. I think that's helpful as well.
Yeah, the scope of the implementation may, you know, will change in size, but all of these things, you know, apply to any bank, right? If you want to get to that next point and you want to grow and change over time, all of these things will apply.
Great. Well, looking forward to diving into this with you.
Yeah, likewise. Well, let's get into the first topic.
There you go. So there's where we draw the horizontal line across the page. And now we jump into topic number one. And I know that you and I, in planning this out, felt like a great place to start was about modernizing your bank. Mm-hmm. And so episode one here for the Major Marketing Challenge series, we'll dive into modernizing your bank. Again, the applicability is going to be for any bank in the U.S., you know, regardless of size. Community banks have a sets of like challenges And this is so commonly one of them. And Dan, again, in framing this up, one of the comments that I think that I made to you is, I mean, my agency works with 65 plus banks. Yours works with tons of folks. I mean, you know, we're talking about banks across the country just between our two agencies that we're representing. And so many of them only change when forced. Mm. And maybe that's a little harsh, but...
No, I think there's an incentive for, I mean, if you're a community bank and you've been around for 100 years, things are good. There's not, you know, there's an incentive to keep doing what you're doing, right? The market pressure, you know, there are market pressures, right? There's a big perception in the industry that community banks are stodgy and, you know, you're up against flashy ads from Bank of America and Chase and the like, and that doesn't help, you know? And you've kind of got to, if you want to appear modern, you kind of have to fight against that. But if your business is doing well, the incentive is to stick with it, right? And until that pressure gets so great, you can't ignore it anymore. But, you know, I think the earlier you can start tackling, it's a tidal wave that's kind of already splashing at the shore, right? You're not going to escape it. The sooner you get, start working on some of these modernization things, the you know, further along you can, I don't know what I'm trying to say, the faster you can kind of get ahead of the wave.
There you go.
And compete better, right?
Or at minimum, keep up with it.
Keep up with it, yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes sense, right? Like you've got a solid customer base, you know, solid bottom line, and, you know, why rock the boat? But, you know, in the same breath, we talked to a lot of banks that are, hey, like our previous episode, like, hey, we want to attract millennials and Gen Z.
Every one of them. I was just about to say that, Dan. Yeah.
Yeah. And those two go against each other. If you're not modernizing your bank and your brand, it's going to make it super hard to attract the younger generation.
There you go. Just like marketing platforms, techniques, technologies are modernizing in order to reach those younger audiences. That's one of the overlaying goals and challenges of every community bank is trying to attract millennials and Gen Zs, which is no longer the 20-year-old. We're talking 45 and down. That's right. Like we talked about in our episode with Dr. Brett Andrews, and that's significant. So in order to attract those, a stale set of presentations as to who you are, we all know, is not going to do that. So this is required stuff. So the topic of modernizing your bank is something that if you as bank leadership continue to put on the back shelf, it is going to create pain points and have ramifications. And as our customer bases are, those safe customer bases are aging out, Dan, over the coming years, if we're not ready for that starting today, then we're going to find ourselves far behind. And it's a lot harder in business to play catch up, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think we can, you know, let's break down what we mean by modernizing your bank. Like first and foremost, we're not talking about necessarily fully abandoning your name and brand and, you know, what you stand for, right? It's more, how do you evolve that to just change that perception, that stodgy perception?
There you go.
You know, so a lot of a number of different ways this manifests itself. But I think the first thing everybody thinks of is kind of logo, right? And, you know, if you're still using a 30, 40-year-old logo, you're going to appear stodgy, right? Even if you probably have the best service, right, in your area, but prospective customers don't see that until they are a customer, right? And so, like, the way they need to perceive it before they're going to decide to become a customer, so that even beyond the logo, right, it's your overall visual brand, everything from the way you talk about the bank to how your advertising looks to even the signage in front of your branches. If that signage has burnt out lights and
yeah, it used to be white and stuff, now it's like yellow.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's burnt out LEDs on your digital sign. Like it, you know, all that little stuff adds up.
Yeah. Well, as we go into these, and what you and I were going to cover today is kind of the sets of issues, and then I know we're going to dive into some solutions today, so that's going to be really helpful as well. But you're right. It's the first impression. It's the thing that current customers see the most often, you know, on print materials and your website and your buildings and signage and, you know, anything and everywhere is that visual brand. That's right. So now, too often, we hear professionals thinking a brand is a logo, and a logo is only a small part of a brand, but you're correct. It's that first impression. So, you know, it's kind of like showing up for a date in, you know, unwashed, wrinkled clothes and your hair's not washed and you look like crap. Well, I mean, do you really want to present your business that way as well? And the answer is, of course you don't. And it's also one of the most changeable things. And Dan, I like how you helped introduce this, that our suggestion, and when we go into solutions, we'll talk about this further, it is not always complete name change, drastic, you know, logo and brand change and all of that. A lot of times it's the contrary. So we'll go into that further in solutions. Well, so Dan, another significant issue here around modernizing your bank that we talked about too was using stale marketing methods. And that's one that your team and mine see frequently, do we not?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, all the time. It's a lot of community banks can't let go of the old school print, you know, local newspapers, right? And I think it's not necessarily about, and probably letting go is the wrong term, right? It's not necessarily about fully letting go, but it's, you know, using it for what it is, right? I think like local newspaper, to use that example, can be a great way to appear and be present in your community, but it's not a replacement for digital, right? If you want to appeal to Gen Z, you need to be on digital. They're not reading that local paper.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of recognizing what it is. What other...
Well, you know, another big set, because again, we work with so many community banks, and you know, one of the big differentiators between our community banks and larger regional and national banks and fintechs and all of that is community presence. So that's key. And a lot of times those traditional methods are important, but that is, you know, ads in the school, you know, magazines and the, you know, even outdoor billboards, you know, there are physical local presence and your sign on the outfield at the baseball field, those kind of things. So while we do think that those are important, the good thing is those are typically pretty inexpensive. And those are not the places that the big national banks are going to be. So those are important. And I don't necessarily consider those stale. But as you mentioned, you know, sticking to print or local radio and those types of things, rather than rolling into geographically targeted digital within compliance, you know, for display and SEM and all these other things that are going to reach your intended target audiences, and doing that in ways that are going, you know, using those methods and platforms that are going to reach the audiences that you really need to. And by the way, those are the platforms that by now, even your older customers, you know, are still going to see social media ads and targeted digital ads and all those kind of things as well. So there's really not much argument for that. One of the stats that I looked at last year, Dan, was, you know, there's a year over year 12% decrease in traditional marketing spend, hard cost spend, and 17% annual increase in digital ad spend, you know, and digital meaning SEO and SEM and all of those things. So if that's not where you are, then you're not modernizing your bank yet in the marketing methods. So
yeah, and I think if you are still majority kind of traditional, you know, the things that radio, billboard, newspaper, again, you know, that stodgy perception, right? That mm-hmm. that helps kind of cement that, like, oh, that's, you know, I might drive by the bank every day, but they've got that billboard out on the highway, and you know, they just look, they look old.
And the same billboard's been sitting there for 12 months and it's sun stale and,
yeah,
you know, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, even a simple kind of digital campaign, and we'll talk again when we get to solutions, but like it's even just getting your logo out on digital can change that. Oh, hey, I know that bank. They're, you know, they're here on this, on this site that I'm on.
Yeah.
Can help a lot. And that's, I think that all plays into the kind of the next issue, which is the messaging. So like, what do these ads really say? I think it's, you know, it's another way. I think we probably say every episode here of too many banks are out there saying trusted and local, or, you know, you reach a person, you know, when you call, not a, you're a person, not a number, those types of things. And it sounds good, but if you're messaging, you know, your messaging can start to seem stale and stodgy if it's, if it sounds like everybody else.
Yeah. And it's that, that messaging that, you know, established 150 years ago. Okay. Well, that's great. And we understand that that likely means you're not going away tomorrow. And while that may be part of your brand and brand message, it's not something that is a modernized call to action, right? So rather than speaking to your uniqueness and strengths and the personality of the bank, stale messaging, right? That looks more like, well, that's the tagline we've used forever, that we are your community bank. Okay. Well, you know, so, and so if you're correct, Dan, if that messaging is stale, then how are you going to appeal to today's audiences, even if those audiences are older, but how are you going to appeal to your potential customers for deposit accounts and loans if your messaging is not also up-to-date, appealing, streamlined, sexy, whatever, you know, whatever it is that it needs to be? So, and again, that's not something that's has to deviate so far from where you've been. So don't let, you know, so us saying, hey, you've got to update your brand messaging, think, oh, well, that's going to scare off all of our current customers. No, it's not. It's actually going to speak to them in today's terms, language, and what's going to uniquely identify you. That's very significant.
Yeah.
And Dan, you know, while we're still into issues, I know one other one that we really wanted to talk about also is using outdated platforms. So, you know, every bank has partners that are their core providers and their, you know, app providers and all of those kind of things and, you know, web, so on and so forth. And again, it's part of that perception. So in our marketing terms, using older platforms and technologies that at least haven't had a facelift, you know, or at least some of the newer capabilities that people expect, then, you know, it's like walking into that lobby that hasn't been updated, hasn't even been, the walls repainted since 1971. And, you know, it's kind of walking into the leave it to beaver atmosphere. And you're going, you know, yeah, but we want to appeal to younger audiences. And that's not going to work. So in technologies, from online banking to app to all the things that your customers are touching and using most frequently, even if you haven't made the big expensive jumps into the latest tech, at least do, you know, some facelifting stuff so that that perception and the, at least the basic capabilities are there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. You know, just even something as simple as a mobile enabled website, right? I mean, most websites these days will load on a mobile phone, but not all of them look good. Run into bank websites all the time, you know, that don't look good. And then, right, how, you know, if and probably more than half your traffic is from mobile devices. So if that's the first impression somebody gets, you know, they're going to get to this poorly formatted mobile website and say, like, well, how am I going to get my financial planning and banking done at this bank that, you know, hasn't updated their website in 15 years? And it extends to the, you know, to like the mobile app and those types of platforms too. And we always say, you know, you're not going to compete with Bank of America on the strength of your mobile app, right? You're not going to try to like out-app them. But just having something decently modern, I mean, technology changes pretty quickly. And that app is the way, or that app is where your customers spend most of the time interacting with you, especially the younger ones, right? So that's your bank. That app is your bank. Invest in it.
There you go.
You know, don't forget about that.
Yeah. Well, and Dan, before we leave issues, the last one that I think we wanted to be sure to cover too is about data and more specifically about lack of use of data, lack of capturing efforts to capture data and then utilize it on the solution side. So, you know, it something even as basic as all email address, you know, email addresses for all of your customers so that you can communicate with them not to inundate them with sales information, but at least be able to communicate, you know, with with e-news or closures or Merry Christmas or, you know, basic things like that, you know, good mobile numbers for texting or those types of things. From that and the capturing of marketing related data all the way to the utilization of a lot of the data that Dan, you and your group does so much with clients as well, about utilization patterns, you know, and those types of things. And how are you partnering with your core and your platforms to be able to capture data about, you know, stale accounts and, you know, those types of things. And not doing that is a great way to not modernize your bank.
Right. Right. You know, I had a conversation the other day with one of our clients around, you know, doing more. And, you know, it was like, well, how many email blasts should we send out a month? It's like, well, there's no number for that. And I said, you know, try not to use the word email blast, right? Like email blasts are for like emergent fraud alerts or, you know, we're closed on this holiday or, you know, the drive up is now open, like those types of things. But if you're talking about marketing, it's more like, you know, get a segment that and make the messages relevant.
And resourceful. And
that's just the basic, you know, the basic usage of data. You know, we were talking about like marketing a certain type of account, and it was like, well, the first thing you need to do is just like get your list and separate it between the people that already have that account and the people that don't. And you know, you're going to send a different message to each one.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be super common. The bigger banks have hundreds of segments and, you know, thousands of automated messages probably at any given time, but it doesn't need to be that complicated. It just needs to be really straightforward. You don't need a big analytics practice to just get started on some of this stuff. So that gets into solutions, but if your customers are just constantly getting stuff that doesn't apply to them, it's another thing that kind of builds that stodgy perception. And, you know, at the same time, we all see thousands of ads a day. So they're getting ads from other financial institutions that speak directly to their problems, you know? So like they're a customer, you're sending them something about, you know, they're a 60 something customer and you're sending them something about your first time home buyers. Right. And they're like, well, my bank doesn't get me. At the same time, they're getting some, you know, fintech that's sending them something really relevant to them. It's going to change the perception of you.
Yeah. Well, let's jump over into solutions because, you know, the identifying of all of these problems and issues that we've talked about, Dan, is kind of that harsh reality look in the mirror, and that so many community banks need to do, because, you know, the first step toward change is acceptance and surrender, you know, to, okay, this is our reality. These things are stale. You know, now we want to begin to move forward. So we had one of our bank clients come to us about a month and a half ago. And they were in the process of a leadership change and update and those types of things. And, you know, they said, hey, we've got all of these issues. We realize we need to modernize. Let's get started. And so, Dan, going back to the visual brand and the logo, you know, one of the things they said is, yes, we understand that our logo is significantly outdated. However, we're not up for a 100% change, start from scratch, whole new fonts, colors, you know, direction. We don't want to rename the bank, you know, all of those kind of things. We want to refresh. So what our team has been walking them through is what can honor that history and that identification with who we are, who they are. Mm-hmm. So for example, their core primary color, you know, we actually did a very, very slight modification to it just to lighten it up just a little bit. And we stayed generally in the same font family, but brought, you know, to some more kind of in the more modern world, the serif world of, you know, some of these. And so we're doing modification to it, but it's not such a drastic change that their greatest fear of alienating themselves or not being recognized by their own customers and own communities, that's not going to happen, you know. But it's going to be significant enough that their local communities are going to go, oh, that's a little different. But it's not, who are you? Yeah. So I think
show they're keeping up with the times, but it's not going to not going to alienate, not going to...
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely. So a total, you know, makeover is not always essential and is something that scares community banks, you know, so often. And in M&A processes, that's one thing. But when you're just trying to modernize, it's something else.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's, you know, there's ways to approach it. I think you know, you're calling it a visual refresh versus a rebranding. There's a big difference. There's a big kind of spectrum of the ways you can do it. I mean, and even if you're like, no, we're absolutely not touching the logo, because then we'd have to like buy 30 new signs and all this stuff. You know, there's ways to just expand your brand without that, right? You pick five complementary colors that become your brand, pick design elements, pick, update the way you talk, right? Like, you know, some of the banks we work with try to have kind of a witty brand, and some of them are more formal. You know, think about that voice. We had an episode on brand voice a while back. Think about that type of stuff where you don't have to change any signage or any art, right? But you establish some standards for how the brand is used, and it can go a long way, especially if you're doing that with your target customer in mind. Or what does our brand voice need to be? What do the colors need to be to appeal to Gen Z and millennials? But the logo stays relatively the same or has just minor updates so we don't alienate the existing customers. There's a lot of ways to approach it. I think that's probably a whole other podcast episode of like the different ways to approach a brand refresh. But it's really, and the bottom thing is, you know, all those issues, I think I probably said 4 or 5 times, these issues help cement that like stodgy perception. All these solutions are just kind of helping to kind of break it up, right? It doesn't mean, you know, $100,000 brand redo it, you know, redo. It's incremental, you know, enough to just show change and break up that perception of it.
Yep. Well, and you know, and on that visual, you know, too, then what we're talking about is literally not having to repaint every building and you know, change the background of every single sign and become unrecognizable. It's not that. It's a refresh that is moving you in the right direction. And your last comments there, Dan, we're rolling right into updating the messaging, you know, and that brand voice and messaging. And I will say that very often over the years, my team has, you know, heard from bank leadership, hey, we want a new tagline. Just give us a new tagline and put it in the ad. You know, and that's not doing it justice. I'll say that very nicely, that going through the value to modernizing your bank and the future of the company is so crucial to do that process right, both in the visual, you know, the logos, the font sets, the whole brand standards and all of that, but then rolling into the messaging and taking the time to work with someone that can do that and do it well. So, for example, you know, some of the members of my team, you know, can walk our clients through a full brand messaging update process. And that is a real drill down into not just, oh, our audience is younger people, but what are their personalities? You know, what are the things that they care about? You know, I mean, things as, you know, are they, if they're dog owners, if they're this, if they're that, you know, what kind of winter sports are they into? All of these kind of things, so that's where and how we can speak to them. And, you know, developing all of that and a whole new script for who you are that pays homage to and is consistent with your history, but also speaks into where you're going for the sake of your customers. And Dan, one of the things that I love the most about updating messaging is it gets it off of we are the best bank in town perspective and spins the perspective to, Dan, we have accounts, services, and people that can help you, your wife, your kids with the stage where you are in your life and take care of your financial needs. Those are drastically different perspectives, and that's all in that messaging.
You know, when we talk to community banks, it's, and you ask them about their strengths, you know, invariably one of them is, well, we know our customers, and you've got to show that. The messaging is the way you show that to prospective customers, right? If you really understand, if you really know your customers, you really understand their problems and their needs. So, you know, use your messaging to show that off to the rest of your communities, right? We know here's the struggles of a millennial in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Home prices are high, and combined with interest rates, that, you know, you can't just go buy a house. You end up in a bidding war all the time because of the market, our market. You know, that's not true everywhere, but as an example, like, you know, what are those unique challenges that you probably know them better than your larger competitor banks?
Mm-hmm.
What are they? So put those right in the messaging. And I think the email example with the certain type of account and the email blast I was talking about a minute ago, you know, it's not saying we have this account and it's five, here are the five bullet point features of it. It's if you're struggling with A, B, and C, you need this account because it'll solve those problems.
Like, there you go.
It's flipping it around to talk about the customer problem. And that, you know, if you're talking about the right customer problems, it shows that audience that you know them.
And marching that out through a deliberate process and then having your new brand story, tagline, you know, identifying message. And Dan, a slight aside here too, is that one of the really cool effects that we see that have is not only in your outward face in marketing, but the internal team, it's invigorating. It's energizing, mm-hmm. you know, from the board to frontline staff and everybody in between, and having this new messaging and a refresh and all of that. Man, as a leader, as just a company leader, forget the industry, you know, but whatever it is, and they see that you're investing time, energy, and money into this modernization process and updating messaging. And for, you know, somebody that's been working at the bank for 7 years or 32 years, it really can be invigorating to kind of be a part of this whole new story that you're the same bank. You're the same mm-hmm. community bank that, you know, local presence, relationships, et cetera, and you have those strengths. So let's speak to that. Let's poke our chest out a little bit. Maybe that's a good way to say it, Dan. And it's coming from this modernization of the bank. And it feels good that, hey, I'm a part of a team that yep. is not just going to sit here and kind of wait and hope for people to come in, because since the pandemic, lobby traffic's down, all these other kind of things, we've got to move forward. Community right. banking does as an industry, and these are the ways to do it. And it feels good to your team, especially done well.
Yeah. I mean, and we talked with Dr. Andrews about hiring and stuff too, and it's the same thing. And if you're keeping up with the times and you've got this, you know, inspiring message that's going out in the community, it's going to inspire, you know, you mentioned the kind of energy, like it's going to bring energy to your team. It's going to inspire your, you know, team members to do more and to stick around, right? Dr. Andrews talked a lot about, like, and there's a lot of stuff written about this too, of just younger generations being kind of more mission and purpose driven.
Mm.
So what a great, you know, if you're being purpose driven in your messaging and the way you're going out in your communities, that's not only going to help you attract younger generations as customers, but help you attract and retain staff in-house.
Yeah. Well, that's great stuff. And then to the other set of pain point issues that we were talking about, Dan, is the solutions are kind of obvious, but the updating of both the marketing platforms that you're using and where you're speaking to people and being on social, being active, being organic, you know, and even using those kind of platforms as a differentiator, you know, for you as a community bank from the big banks, but being on the right platforms where people are existing. And those are, here's the big tip of the day. Those are the ones with screens, you know, yeah. these days. So that and those, but also as you and I were starting to talk about the updating of your platforms and your technologies, it makes the value of what you as a community bank have to offer more holistic. If yes, we have the relationships, you can walk in, we can make quick decisions on loans, we can do all of those kind of things. And yes, those are significant and valuable, you know, and you have the technologies that you want and desire in today's world with your finances and doing those things. So working with your core, and maybe it's not moving all the way to their very latest, most expensive platform, but at least moving forward from where you are, and same mm-hmm. thing on mobile app and all of that. And a last comment as a marketing agency here, Dan, it blows my mind how we have conversations with community banks that are spending $1 million to build a new branch that is going to have 100 people a month come in, or whatever the number is, depending on where you are, or 500 people a month, or whatever the case may be. And they freak out at spending 20 or 25 grand on a great dynamic mobile responsive new website that's going to have thousands of visitors a month.
Right.
And those two things, you know, I know you and I have the benefit of marketing perspective, Dan, that doesn't even make sense. But it's quite mind-boggling that's kind of the perspective. So part of this modernization is, hey, come on, folks, you gotta really pay attention here to where you're connecting with your communities and what you look like.
Yeah, you know, invest. I mean, the branch locations are important, but you know, like I think banks invest in the branches so that they have the footprint and they have a physical, you know, tangible asset that they can show off. But like,
certainly
the website's the same kind of thing. And more, like you said, more people see it every day. And I don't know, it varies by bank, but probably like half your customer base is on your website multiple times, you know, a month, if not per week. Mm-hmm. And that's the, you know, the part where they spend the most time interacting with you. So, you know, invest in it.
There you go.
Update it, keep it up with the times. And that's another, you know, again, the theme of this stuff is like break those stodgy perceptions.
And, you know, with these more modernized marketing techniques and digital and all of those things, that's where that traffic is coming to. You know, that's where they're clicking through to and experiencing your brand there. So why have great new modern, you know, ads and messaging and brand look and then drive them, you know, to something that, you know, is not going to match that. Right. So that's key and important. And the same thing for your mobile app and all of those things. And sometimes it's just frequency of updating images on there and those types of things. And people go, oh, you did a major update. Actually, no, we just, you know, changed the place of a couple of things and updated some images, and people think we did an update.
Yeah.
So again, it doesn't have to be a major, you know, holistic renovation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, incremental change. And I think I wanted to kind of wrap up here, talk about just, you know, we've gone through a ton of solutions and ton of things here, but these things don't have to be massive sea changes, right? So in terms of like implementing them, the way I'd approach it, the way I approach it with clients is, you know, you look at all these things we mentioned with issues. So your visual brand, your marketing methods, the platforms you're on, the messaging that you're using. And just like, if you take a step back and you look at those, you can probably see one or two come to the forefront as bigger problems than others, right? Oh, our visual brand is really bad. That's where we need to start. And then you can kind of break that down into stages, into, you know, steps. How much of a brand refresh do we want to do on that spectrum that we talked about? And then how do we stage that out? So it's not about, you know, ripping the bandaid and doing all of the stuff at once. You'll never get it done. It's take stock of what you've got and look, you know, fix the biggest kind of problem areas first, but do it in steps.
Dan, you were sharing with me earlier this week a full-blown marketing strategic plan that you've done with one of your community bank clients. And one of the many things that I liked about that process that you were walking that bank through is this modernization, and that it wasn't a ripping the Band-Aid off. You know, it was, okay, in year one, we're going to, you know, meet these markers, you know, toward modernization, even year two, you know, and marching this out. So it wasn't this massive, scary, immediate process. You know, it was done, it's lined out strategically and sensibly, right, you know, over time, and working with a partner that can help do that makes all the sense in the world. So,
yeah.
Great. Well, so Dan, you know, to that point, we always want to be sure to invite folks to reach out to us. They can go to bankmarketingshow.com, our contact information and our email for the show is there, that comes to you and I. And we invite folks, hey, just reach out and, you know, borrow us for 30 minutes, and we're glad to just answer questions. you know, help you through this process, the what ifs, the wonderings, those types of things.
Yeah.
And reach out to us.
I think one thing too, like both of us are pretty good at is that, you know, what we're talking about here, we're talking about breaking down those perceptions. Like, you know, if we don't know your bank, if we haven't worked with you, we can be pretty good resources to like just go out and look at your digital presence online. And, you know, we can pretty quickly give you a sense of your perception. And we work with so many banks collectively, we can, you know, give you a sense of how that kind of stacks up. So we're happy to be that resource and reach out. It's a good 15 or 30 minute meeting topic right there. So
absolutely. Yeah. And we love doing that. That's, you and I both have passion for having those conversations with folks. So So reach out to us. Also, folks, if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, this is a great time to do it because Dan and I are lining up some great industry leader guests and different folks that will be coming on the podcast and also marching out several more episodes of this Major Marketing Challenge series that we think is going to be really great and valuable to you. So subscribe, share the episodes and the show with folks that you know in the industry as well, and we appreciate that. So great visit today, Dan.
Yeah, this is good stuff.
Well, good. Well, thanks. Have a great one, and look forward to our next episodes.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts, and join us next time.